Welcome to the CTO Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the challenges and opportunities facing today's chief technology officers. Looking to discover what it takes to succeed as a CTO? Then sit back and relax as we explore the fascinating evolution of the world of technology leadership. Here's the host of the CTO Podcast, the founder of Seven CTOs, Etienne De Bruin.
Welcome to the CTO Podcast. I am your host and founder of Seven CTOs, Etienne De Bruin. Joining us is Dava Satcher, who is the Director of Engineering at GitLab, which is the first single application for software development, security, and operations that enables concurrent DevOps. GitLab makes the software lifecycle faster and radically improves the speed of business. And today, Dava and I are going to discuss unlocking the power of skip-level meetings. Okay, here's my conversation with Dava Satcher, the Director of Engineering at GitLab Inc. Dava, welcome.
Hi, Etienne. Glad to be here.
So cool to see you. I haven't seen you since the conference.
Yes, and it was a great conference. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course, you were amazing. So wonderful to sort of see what GitLab is up to. Tell us about your role as Director of Engineering at GitLab.
Okay, so right now I'm managing 4 engineering teams. I manage a full stack team, front-end engineering team, back-end engineering teams. And we basically build the create stage products. So features like source code or our web IDE, things like that, wikis, etc. So really excited to work at GitLab. I love our product. I love the team.
Great. So how large are your teams or your total team generally?
Right now, it's about 30 to 33 people.
Yeah, so let's talk about this challenge around skip levels. Presumably, a lot of times it's really hard to keep in a hierarchical organization. No matter how flat we try and keep things, there's some sort of hierarchy. And I've often heard the further away people are from sort of the center points, the harder it is to keep them clued up to what the corporate goals are and what the vision or the overall quarterly targets are. So I've heard skip levels be used as a way to really keep people connected to the larger vision. Do you want to tell me a little bit about how you do skip levels and tell us more about even what it is to those on this call who don't know what that is?
Sure. Skip levels are, first and foremost, my favorite. Skip levels are when I'm a director and my direct reports are engineering managers and engineers reporting to the engineering managers. So there is a gap between what the engineers are working on and what I'm working on a day-to-day basis. Most directors were engineering managers, right? So we're used to working with engineers, but we just don't get the opportunity to. So it's important to not only for us to stay in touch and engage with them, but for them to stay in touch with us. We don't want this idea, this mystique of leadership, right? We want to demystify that for them. We want them to see me just like they see their own manager, have access to me, just like they have access to their own manager. And so I usually go into the skip level meeting saying, your manager is your coach. I'm a cheerleader on the sidelines rooting for you. We're a team to support you. And you have twice as many people looking out for you. You've got your managers coaching you, and then me, I'm basically your sponsor. I'm in meetings, I'm hearing about opportunities, and I'm thinking, oh, I just spoke to this person this week, it would be great for them. So now you have me in my spaces supporting you and your manager in theirs. So it's really powerful to have a team, your manager and their director.
I love that analogy around you have a coach and then you have the cheerleader. Logistically, tell us how you do your cheerleading or your skip levels.
Okay, so the first thing I do is I have a template. It's actually in our handbook. It's transparent. And I have what I call async meeting prep. So I have this template and I reach out, I create a calendar of invitation for the skip level. And then I link them to the template and I say, hi, welcome to the team. My name is Dava, if I haven't met them yet. And we're going to have this meeting, and this is the template. And I would really appreciate it if you could fill this out so that we can use our time efficiently. And pretty much we'll have a conversation when the meeting starts, we'll have our conversation. They usually would have filled out the skip level template. And things I ask, the first thing on every template is, tell me about your accomplishments. What have you been doing? They tell me, and then I say, thank you. You know, and I explain how what they're doing aligns with leadership goals, OKRs, what makes me happy, whatever, right? And that's how I started off. And then I go right into, so how has like your manager been supporting you? And then they'll say what their manager's been doing. And I would say, well, is there anything you'd like your manager to look into a little bit more? Maybe a blind spot for them. And then they usually pause and like, your manager is going to see this. So if there's something you don't want to be shared with them, let me know and I won't share that. But the best way for me to get results for you is for me to be able to communicate to your manager how they can better support you. But they have the choice. And then they might say, oh, my manager, they weren't really looking out for my career. They're all focused on the product or something like that. And I was just, they would have written that down. And then I'll say, well, who in your team really helps grow and magnify and amplify others? And then they'll give me some feedback on their peers. And then I will say, what processes do you think we should change to be more efficient? What could we change to help you out more? And then they'll tell me about processes that are really slow. And then it comes to me, I'm like, what can leadership do better? Right. And then they give me feedback. Well, this template actually is too complicated. Okay, let's dig into that. You know, why is this template, you know, complicated? So I go through these series of questions, starting about you, your manager, and your team. And by the end of the meeting, either they filled out something for me to review asynchronously, or I've gathered some new information. I've now developed a relationship with them. I try to meet with them like this twice a year. I might only do it once a year, but I have an ongoing agenda, right? So now the next year comes around and I'm like, oh, how are you doing with that goal? We talked about a year ago. Also, directly after the meeting, I share with the engineering manager. They love it because they know that feedback is growth, but they love it, right? They're like, I didn't know this. They never told me that. And I said, because you don't ask the right questions. You know, like, so it's a coachable moment for them. They often give me great feedback that I didn't know. I have blind spots too. I'm not perfect. And I tell the engineering managers, like, look, this is what they told me I need to improve on. And it's great feedback. So I found that it creates results because it affects change. It creates psychological safety because now they're not afraid to speak up. I'm actually developing relationships and getting an understanding of what the team is looking for, what their goals are. So when I hear about certain projects, I know who to call on. And then if there's problems, like with an engineering manager that's not really supporting someone, I'll start to see a trend and it'll be obvious that it's not just that individual. I need to really coach my manager. So there, to me, it's gold.
Yeah, something you said that I find fascinating is, so if I am on your team as a developer, I may only talk to you twice a year. I'm assuming that's not true. It's the skip levels are twice a year. Maybe I'll see you in a skip level. But are there other ways in which I've built a relationship with you?
I tend to build a relationship with them. They don't always just come to me. The director hears people off. So every year someone has an anniversary. So when there's an anniversary, it's in the channel, I reach out to them. When I have my one-to-one meetings with engineering managers, I ask them who's winning, who's doing something great. And then I'll go into the group Slack channel and say, fantastic job, XYZ. You had an amazing impact here. Fantastic. Anytime you see something, you say something. I do that across, it doesn't matter if you're on my team or not. It's just how I communicate. So it should not be your only interaction with me. And if it is, then I might start having questions. You know, I might start asking the engineering manager, what's going on? What are they working on? Like, and kind of feed into it. But it should not be the only interaction. But it is their moment that's set aside just for them to just tell me whatever they want. And I always have an open door policy. I know one staff engineer met with me twice in 1 month to talk about random things or concerns. So they also, once I open the door, they know the door stays open.
I'm curious, as you relate to your engineering managers, is there a function that only you do with those 30 people and your engineering manager does? If I am an engineer in your group, is all my managing happening through one person who is my engineering manager?
Yes, unless you come to skip level with me and you ask me my opinion. Okay. I don't like override the engineering manager. I don't make commitments on their behalf. But sometimes people, they actually have questions for me like, how did you decide when you wanted to become a manager? What would you suggest for XYZ? So in those cases, I will share, but I don't like to ever get in front. I'm really hierarchical. I don't want to step on the toes of the engineering manager. The only other time I work directly with ICs is when I'm mentoring. And I never mentor anybody in my organization because they already have me. I'm always there. I'm always at their disposal.
I just wonder this whole concept of not stepping on the manager's toes. I mean, inevitably, you're going to hear something. Something's going to be said. There's going to be a weird vibe, maybe. A developer might say something that, you know, could disparage a little bit what the manager is doing. I mean, this is a situation that is prime for hurt feelings or misunderstandings or miscommunications, isn't it?
Well, in the skip level, if they say something that the engineering manager is not doing, or if they have a meeting that they requested of me to say that, I want that information. I want that feedback because that's how I coach the engineering manager. That's where they get the best coaching. I want to encourage that. I don't feel awkward about it at all. And I let them know in the one-to-one when I say I'm your cheerleader. However, I ask specific questions about does your manager have a blind spot about something you're working on? Is there something they're not doing for you? That's a very critical piece of the one-to-one. And because that's part of our skip level, I do get separate meetings maybe put on my calendar about that. Typically, I'm not surprised. Typically, the manager has already said, there's some tension between my direct report and I. How should I manage the situation? So a lot of times I already know. If I don't, then that's even more of a blind spot. But that happens, and that's another reason to have the regular meetings. But because they're regularly meeting with me, they have a psychological safety to escalate. And honestly, at GitLab, they even escalate sometimes to my manager, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And so as we end this off, what needs to be true? I know GitLab is a superbly transparent operating handbook. And, you know, it's always interesting looking from the outside in. It must be a fascinating, we can learn from them. We can watch what they do. But I imagine from the inside, it must be a fascinating experience to be sort of inside of a system that is so transparent to the rest of the world. But something I want to know is when you talk about psychological safety and what I presume to be the confidence maybe that you're coaching people to have, like this is a feedback, this is everyone's growing. Like you said, even as a director, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. What needs to be true in an organization to be able to do skip levels in this productive kind of way? And then maybe as an illustration, when won't it work? So people listening to this podcast might say, oh, great, I'm going to go do skip levels. But if certain things are not true, I'm imagining it could be a disaster.
The rule number one that you don't want to break is don't go into it with a blank slate. Always have an agenda. I've seen skip levels where the director or whomever comes in and says, what do you want to talk about? You're not going to get a lot out of that meeting. So rule number one, always have an agenda. Rule number two, from the very beginning, say, I'm going to share this information with your engineering manager. Because you have a long meeting and you can't say anything to your engineering manager, how can you affect any type of change? Another rule is look at it as data. Don't look at it as right or wrong. So if they say, my manager is not supporting my career, when you go to the manager might say, but I am. Doesn't matter what you think you're doing. What matters is the result, right? If your direct report is like, I'm working really hard, but you're not producing anything, right? So take yourself and your emotions out of the way and say, well, regardless of what I think I'm doing, the direct report is not receiving that, and I need to support them where they are. I don't need to force them where I am. Those are three things.
I love the idea of seeing it as data and not as a right-wrong context. I love saying, hey, we're going to have a conversation. We're just going to gather data for you and for me, up, down, left, right. It's just information. This is not about a right-wrong situation. This is just so we can all do the work at a better, more efficient space. Final question, how do you handle your own frustrations? Like when you hear something maybe for a second or a third time as a director, as a leader of leaders, you're only human. So when you get frustrated by something you hear in the skip level, how do you not bring that baggage? How do you just handle it as data and not get sort of caught up in some of that emotion? Do you have like handstands you do before you do a meeting, some air boxing? Like what do you do?
For some reason, the way I process frustration is I pivot to a challenge. So, wow, this is an opportunity. The more frustrated I am, the more frustrated like multiple people are about the same thing, I found an opportunity to have an impactful efficiency improvement. So I just interpret it differently. I get frustrated if I'm on a website and it takes too long to load. That's when I get the most frustrated. I'm the biggest customer and I care about my team, but I really care about the customer. So things that frustrate the customer really frustrate me. But anytime I see a frustration, whether it's with the product or with people, it's always like, okay, this is an opportunity. This is a win. And I always have people, or there are always people in the organization who want. They want a promotion to this, or they want to be a staff, or they want to be a senior manager. Guess what? I got a problem for you to solve. I've been waiting. I've been waiting for something to come along just for you. I've got it. It's right here. So I'm just solving problems. It's just another puzzle.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the CTO Podcast. Thanks to Dava Satcher, Director of Engineering at GitLab Inc. for joining us. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Dava and I are going to discuss the performance boosting power of feedback. If you can't wait until our next episode and would like to learn more about Dava, you can find a link to her LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact her on Twitter, where her handle is dsatcher21, dsather21, or visit her company website at gitlab.com. Just one link in our show notes I want to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while listening to this podcast, head over to ctopod.com, where we have summaries of all our episodes and contact information for our guests. And if you want to share your stories of technical strategy and leadership in the C-suite, you can apply to be a guest speaker on the CTO Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is 7CTOs on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is @DeBruin, @DeBruin. If you haven't subscribed yet and want a steady stream of CTO brilliance in your podcast feed, we're publishing multiple episodes each week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. Okay, that's all for today. But until next time, remember that if things aren't breaking, your company isn't growing.